I wonder what the word freedom means to you. Sit for a moment, just right now. What does freedom mean for you? What does it feel like? Maybe it feels like waking up on a day when there's nothing you have to do, and the sun is shining, and the time stretches out full of creative possibility, and there's a book you've been wanting to read, just waiting for you to open it and begin. Or maybe it feels like putting your boots on and starting down a hiking trail, your limbs moving easily, your lungs drinking in the fresh mountain air. Or maybe it feels like a road trip with no clear destination, just starting off exploring, wandering, following whatever path there is in front of you. For Andy, the notion of freedom brought back for him the feeling of the last day of school in the late spring, early summer. Anticipation had been building for weeks. The teachers have been running out of ways to keep unruly kids occupied. And finally, it's there, the bell dismissing everyone from the confines of the classroom into the wide open space of summer. No more tests, no more report cards, no more rushing to be on time for the next period, no more gym teacher blowing his whistle and yelling at you to keep running. It is quite a delicious feeling to remember the last day of school, right? Yes, a moment of freedom. It's important to remember your own version of that feeling as we approach our reading from Paul's letter to Galatians, because Paul claims that the Christian life is in a very real sense like that. The Christian life is through and through a life of boundless freedom. For freedom, Christ has set us free. It's a wonderful verse, isn't it? You can very well say that the whole letter of Galatians has been pointing to this very verse. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Because at its heart, that is what the letter is about. Christ, indeed, has set us free. He's kept saying it. Paul has kept saying that in one way after another. He has set us free from the present age, with all its constraints and limitations and lies. He has set us free from the law, from the demands of confronting one fixed set of practices and standards. He has set us free from human-made divisions and prejudices, from the walls we construct out of fear and insecurity. He has set us free from the guilt of our past failures, offering forgiveness and new life. He has even set us free from the need to worry about the future, because in Christ, death itself is conquered. You are free. That's what Paul shouts in Galatians and to us. Christian life is really like waking up to a clean slate, like heading out on a hiking trail, like embarking on a road trip, like flying out of school on the first day of summer vacation. You are free. Feel that in your bones. That's what Paul tells us. Of course, you are right. There is a little bit more, because Paul and the whole Christian witness after him will insist that this freedom has a particular character. The freedom offered by Christ is freedom for love. It's freedom to care for your neighbor. Now you may be saying, hold on, that sounds a little bit like bait and switch, because freedom has no constraints, right? It means doing whatever I feel, watching as much Netflix as my heart desires, and eating nothing but chocolate for a week if that's what I feel like. I mean, that's what freedom is. Andy says, no judgment here about Netflix and chocolate. They have their place. But Paul is pointing to a different and deeper sense of what freedom is all about. Doing whatever I want without any consideration for others might feel free, at least for a time. But Paul insists that it's not really. Because if freedom is simply following my appetites as far as they want to go, doing what I want, when I want, buying what I want, consuming what I want, sooner or later, we'll find out that these appetites are really running the show, and that we are not really as free as we thought. Our common images of freedom often turn out to be thinly veiled pictures of self-centeredness, which Christian faith insists is a long, long way from being truly free. Jesus frees us from precisely this, from the small life of self-centeredness, to the wide open space of love. You were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. True freedom is the freedom to see past my worries, my insecurities, my wishes, my wants, and step into this broad place of love, where there are sisters and brothers to appreciate, and worlds to discover, and countless ways to offer our particular gifts to the common good. True freedom, according to St. Paul, is the freedom to serve. And if you want a clearer, more concrete picture of that freedom in action, read on, because Paul has a list. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'm going to read it now more slowly so it sinks in. And see what you notice. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's not clear how that list of virtues and admirable attributes sounds in our world today. Maybe you notice that these are not exactly the most prominent qualities on display in the culture around us. And that's quite clear. Who's advocating gentleness these days? And then maybe you think, well, I'm doing okay on a couple of those, but I could stand to work on a couple of others. Or maybe you think, oof, that's not definitely what my life looks like now. I better get busy right away working on gentleness and kindness and patience. Or maybe you think, that's it, I'm out, doesn't work. There's no way anybody can live like that. And that's a reasonable response in our world, because we are constantly told, nobody lives like that. But what really strikes today is that Paul doesn't call these lovely things the Christian checklist or the Jesus follower report card. We are free. No report cards. Paul doesn't set up a list to do this or you're in big trouble scenario. No, he calls these things the fruits of the Spirit. So last week, Andy spent some time at the Ecumenical Institute at Bosse, and he had time to walk in the fields nearby. Some of you know the area around the Ecumenical Center at Bosse near Saligny. He was able to go down toward the lake, and in several spots there were apple orchards. The trees last week were heavy with fruit, waiting to be harvested, the colors brilliant, the boughs sagging under all the weight. And he said there was a kind of heady autumn smell in the air, truly beautiful. And he reports that although he's no botanist, he could see that the trees don't give any impression that they are frantically trying hard. In fact, it's quite the opposite. The trees, they seem to be doing the natural thing they were intended to do. Last spring, they were sprouting blossoms and buds, and with time and nourishment and sunlight and water, lo and behold, suddenly, there's fruit all over the place, lots of it. So for Andy, that's how he hears Paul's particular way of describing what a free Christian life looks like. These are the fruits of the Spirit, he says. When a person is rooted in that soil, basking under the sun, watered with that rainfall, tapped into that life, the fruits of the Spirit are what grow. All those wonderful things oriented toward and offered for others. You noticed that, right? Those fruits of the Spirit imply others toward whom we can be loving and joyful and peaceful and patient. Others with whom we can share generosity and faithfulness and gentleness. Like a tree's fruit that freely nourishes and sustains other creatures, these fruits contribute to the well-being of our neighbors, the well-being of our loved ones and of our community. So, if Paul's list doesn't seem to describe what's growing in your life right now, the answer isn't to try harder on the test. Remember, we are free. There are no report cards. The answer in Paul's image is to look where you are rooted. Look at what's feeding you. Look at what sustains you. Are you subsisting on a steady diet of fear and doom scrolling? Are you gulping down guilt and resentment? Are you hanging out in the glare of others' expectations and standards of success? Are you stuck in the dry soil of your own wants? Because you are free of all that. That's what Paul offers us. In Christ, you are really and truly free. So root yourself in that great love that holds you and all of us. Drink it, soak it up, bask in it, and see what grows in you. For sure, the Christian life is not all effortless and easy. The needs of our world are really immense right now. The uncertainties are great and overwhelming. It's an all hands on deck sort of time, when we're each called to contribute in whatever ways we can. But there's also this good news, that the resources we need to undergird the work before us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, they're not simply ours to summon up out of nowhere. No, they are the gifts of God, the fruits of the Spirit's presence with us and in us. In this nervous and hectic time, it is not a time to ignore our inner lives or disconnect from our sources. It is time to settle in. Remember, you are baptized. You are a child of God. Remember all that Jesus has done, and know that in Christ, you are free. You are loved. And then let the Spirit do its work. Thanks be to God. Amen.